Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pello. I'm a group director at market research company InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us for our webinar today titled A Reality Check, Augmented Reality, sponsored by Canon Solutions America. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by two people that I consider to have very strong expertise in the world of augmented reality. The first is Martin Ahe, and he's the partnerships manager at Layer. And the second is Deborah Haskell, VP of marketing at leading direct marketing company, IWCO. What we're going to be doing today is really spending some time sharing with you the value proposition and the implementation process for augmented reality. But before we get started, I would like to give everybody a couple tips to make sure that you can enjoy today's webinar. If you're having any technical difficulties, you can let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget below. We'll be taking questions throughout the webinar, so all you have to do is key in your question and hit the submit it to the Q&A box. And we'll ask the questions as the webinar proceeds. And if you want to see what the console can do, all you have to do is click on the Tips for Attendee widget for a complete rundown. Now, let me take a second to tell you what we'll be covering today. First of all, I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about five critical trends relative to augmented reality and how we see augmented reality taking hold. Then I've asked Martin to share with you some use cases for augmented reality and how people are actually implementing it. And then Deborah's going to talk to you about an implementation experience and what IWCO did to implement augmented reality as part of a direct mail campaign. We'll wrap up with a couple of recommendations and conclusions and any final questions that you might have. Now, let me get started by sharing with you what we see as critical trends relative to augmented reality. First and foremost, one of the big areas that we're seeing are wearables. And Google Glass has clearly gotten a lot of what I categorize as red carpet attention in 2014. But they're not alone. Several other wearable AR options are emerging in the marketplace. The Google Glass price, which I think we saw a few weeks ago, is a pretty steep price tag of $1,500. But there's going to be room for more players. And you want to keep your eyes open for Vuzix M100 smart glasses, Recon Jet sports glasses, and Indiegogo project by Glass UP. These are among others that are set to emerge with wearable options and include Samsung, Apple, Microsoft, and Sony. One of the things that people ask about is where does augmented reality fit and how does it fit? And I know that Martin's going to cover this a bit. But basically, if I've got my Google Glasses on, I can issue a verbal command and say, okay, Glass, scan this. And the head-mounted wearable will find additional content for your right eye. And it's done by blending, obviously, print with that Google Glassware. Another critical trend that we're seeing in augmented reality is making it experiential for the retail market. One of the biggest applications that we saw at the end of 2013 was really IKEA's 2014 augmented reality catalog app. And it was a very, very notable retail experiment with AR. But that's also just beginning. We're starting to see augmented reality blended with store signage to geofenced couponing. And I think what you'll see is that 2014 is going to be the year where retailers will truly start to explore the true power of augmented reality. The other thing we're seeing are examples of immersive AR experiences at events, and they're tied to everything from gaming to lead generation. In this example, what you're seeing is Standard Register did a application in one of their trade show booths where it was titled, Where's My Mojo? And it was an augmented reality application where people could understand what their brand actually represented. In another instance, we went to a live rock concert and we saw augmented reality blended in with the t-shirts that were part of being admitted to the concert. And so there's a number of immersive experiences taking hold. We're also seeing augmented reality integrate with the educational and learning market. Educators on the cutting edge have been experimenting with free services offered by some universal augmented reality app companies. And 2014, we think, is going to bring a lot of visibility to these efforts, along with new concepts that allow for commercialization of AR for education and learning. We're seeing teachers that are doing do-it-yourself augmented reality projects, and then there are apps like ZooBurst, which actually allow students to create 3D pop-up books. And so, again, I think education is a major opportunity. And last but not least, we're seeing augmented reality take hold for both selling and driving cars. This year, Ford augmented their print auto sales brochures for cars like the Explorer and the Mustang, and Volvo used AR to draw attention to its cars at the Shanghai Auto Show. Next year, what's very interesting, if you look at the image to the right, is that Nissan is actually going to augment the driving experience with custom AR glasses. In addition to that, Audi has just announced that it's going to take its owner's manual and actually convert it to an augmented reality application so that if I've got my mobile device, I can actually point that mobile device to the dashboard of the car and it will become my overall owner's manual. So the simple message is when you take a look at these applications, it means that if you're a service provider, it is absolutely time to pay attention. Juniper Research said that by 2017, there are going to be more than 2.5 billion augmented reality apps that will be downloaded. That's a lot of augmented reality. Now, with that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Martin, and Martin's going to spend some time sharing with you what Layer is actually seeing in the market and talk a little bit about the state of augmented reality. So with that, I'm going to turn over to Martin Ahe, and Martin, take it away.
Thank you very much. Hi, guys. Thank you very much for attending this webinar. I'm very glad to see so much interest in this field. So, yes, indeed, let me just guide you quickly through what we are seeing from where we sit. So very quickly, in case you don't know what Layer does, we are one of leading augmented reality companies. We essentially started this industry 5 years ago as we were the first augmented reality app on the market. I was with the company pretty much since the beginning, and today we are with 40 people based in New York, Toronto, and Amsterdam. Our app for Android and iOS has been downloaded around 38 million times, about 9 million times in the U.S., but it's a global app in over 200 countries. Over the past 5 years, 65,000 people have created content with Layer, or 65 organizations or people. We won numerous awards for our technology. Forbes magazine called us one of 50 most innovative technology companies in the world. And exciting news that we announced just a couple of weeks ago, we just launched our first app for Google Glass, which makes it the first Google Glass augmented reality app. All right, so that's quickly about us. Today we mainly work with magazines and newspapers. So in the U.S., it's Men's Health, GQ, 17, Cosmopolitan, Inc. magazine, Wired, Dwell, and many others. But we also work with large brands, automotive companies. So let's look at some examples of what other brands are doing with AR. So this is an example from Dwell. Dwell is one of the leading interior design magazines in the U.S. Many of you probably know it. So apart from, you know, writing about amazing interior design items, they always wondered if they could monetize it somehow, monetize this content further. So they partnered together with Aha Life, who had this very rich e-commerce backend, and they created a shoppable magazine. So essentially, when you're reading Dwell Aha Life edition, whatever you see on the page, you can buy. You can see it in different colors. You can look at it from different angles, share it with your friends. So that went really well for them, and somebody even bought a $3,000 rug using this technology. So another good example is Inc. magazine. So we've been working with Inc. Since May last year, And they have this traditional section in their magazine, which is interviews, normally with some broad entrepreneur or a scientist. And with Layer, they made this section much more interactive. Instead of just writing the script of the interview, they put just a little bit of text and put a video from the interview where you can see how the person really is in life, how they speak, how they look like. You can add some additional content, creating a much deeper experience. So over the past year, Inc. has expanded the involvement in augmented reality to 12 pages inside each of the editions. Another very good example is Lonely Planet, guys. So Lonely Planet, I'm sure many of you know it. So they have these amazing travel guides. But they also had a little bit of a problem because apart from travel guides, they also had a lot of digital content like blogs, images, videos, but they couldn't really figure out a way how to make these two parts of their business talk to each other. So that's exactly what they've done with Layer. They've augmented all European capital titles. So for instance, if you are in Rome, you can take out your phone, scan the cover, and then see what's going on this week. What are the highlights in Rome that I should visit? What's the weather going to be like? Can I get a special discount to some attractions? So essentially, they turned their travel guide into an electronic personal concierge that was always with you. And for instance, if there were any unrests or any kind of problems in the destination city, that experience would adjust itself accordingly and warn you, for instance, about possible risks.
Hey, Martin, I do have a quick question for you before we move on to the next slide. One of the participants asked if AR apps are universal to AR technology. And, you know, they reference back to the fact that, you know, a QR code scanning app, some work and some don't. Could you respond to that for our audience and just talk a little bit about the app side and what you need to do to download an app if I'm a user of the technology?
Of course. It's a very good question. So, indeed, there is no universal AR scanner right now. So there are several companies operating in the space, and you need a separate app to run, each of the experiences. It's a downside, and I'll be transparent with you. However, as you've seen from our download numbers and the companies that we work with, the instructions usually also tell you what app you should use. For instance, with Inc., it's indicated pretty clearly in the beginning that, hey, guys, this is an interactive edition to, whenever you see this little icon, scan this page with a free Layer app and, get mind blown. So the experience for the reader would be after he or she sees these instructions, they would download the Layer app, or many of them, 9 million people in the U.S. already have this app. They would then read the magazine like they normally would, and whenever they would see a page that has a little let me go back just one more slide. Okay. So here you can see this little red dot on the slide. So that is a little symbol inside Well magazine saying, hey, interactive page, scan with Layer. Actually, in their case, they used their own app. Well, it was Layer app, but we custom branded it for them. So in their case, it says scan this with the Dwell AR app. So we also do that.
And Martin, just because we've got North American publishing users, you've also done several editions of Target Marketing Magazine, which is a North American publishing company publication with Layer technology as well.
Yes, indeed. So
yeah, I just
we've
been
done. Thank
yeah.
you. Indeed, of course. Yeah, it's a very good example of yes. So, if you have any questions about Layer and how we could, how you're just thinking how you could embed it inside your business, I'd be glad to discuss, of course. But let me just show you very quickly some other examples to get the creative juices flowing. This is a very good example with Mercedes. What they've done is that they wanted to promote the new A-Class, and they wanted to do it in a very aggressive manner. So once you scan the poster on the left with Lair, the screen sort of breaks, and this car, just drives in with smoke, and it's a very cool effect. So it's a very engaging content that people would show to their friends and family. Here's another very interesting example from Mercedes, which I think, which was very successful, and which I think was very successful because it was very bold. So if you look at the example on the left, that was the actual print ad. They're talking about a car, but they're not even revealing the car. So people are wondering, what is Mercedes trying to tell us? All it's saying is scan with Lair. And so, of course, many people were curious, and they scanned it. And once you scan it, the wheel sort of falls off, and then you can see the new E-Class. So this is a memorable experience. Mercedes and people who saw this ad loved it. I'm just quickly going to show some more examples. Experience doesn't have to be very complicated. As long as you have some kind of a video and maybe a website and Facebook page, you can easily enable augmented reality. So, for instance, the Samsonite app only contains a video. It contains a link to a website where you can win a luggage set. There was no new content created. The only thing that Lair did was we enabled the link from print to video and from print to their website. So it was very cheap as well. That's an interesting one. So when you see that, and the only thing it says is scan with Lair, probably many of us would scan it. And this was what would ad would reveal once you scan it with Lair. So, again, here curiosity, same as in Mercedes example, drives engagement and creates this really amazing experience. So instead of telling the user, instead of this being like a one-way street that you're just shouting some kind of content their direction, you're actually kind of playing with them. You're engaging them in a very funny way, and they love you for it. So there are a few more examples of work we've done. So, for instance, with Top Gear, if you scan the cover, you can see this car driving around the circuit. It's a very, the cover starts changing its shape and becomes very interactive. And same thing with Glamour. But let me now take a look at this industry from point of view of publishers. So, for instance, you've seen some examples of consumer applications, but let me tell you why brands and companies love it. So Glacier Media is one of the largest publishing companies in Canada, and they have about 50 newspapers. And what they've done is that they've enhanced about 20 of these newspapers with Lair. They've enhanced ads, they've enhanced content editorially. With ads, they said, they went back to the advertisers and they said, look, guys, if you want an ad, we can give you a normal ad and here's the rate card. But if you want an interactive ad, that would cost you $100 more. Last year, the CEO was on stage and announced they're on track to generate $7.5 million in extra revenue just through these interactive ad upsells. Now, not all of them came from, specific Lair content, but many of them, a lot of that revenue came from re-engaging old relationships and getting to new advertisers. Because now the ad salespeople had something new to show. They could go back to old advertisers and say, look, this is a new technology, we know something about it, and that's why you should go with it. And that worked out really well for them. They even created a dedicated part on their website, dedicated section, where advertisers could go and understand more how Lair works and what augmented reality does.
Hey, Martin, I've got a couple questions for you. And one of our participants asked, and I'm just going to touch on this, if we'd be covering direct mail applications. And Deborah's going to cover exactly what they've done at IWSCO in a few minutes. But one of the questions that we got in was, is AR technology compatible only with the newest smartphones, or will it work with, say, the iPhone 3 or 4?
It's a great question. Indeed, there are many different types of augmented reality. We've seen, when we started this industry, essentially, we had no idea what would be the winning use case. And we've seen many different examples. Some of them were interactive 3D animated models, when, like, for instance, the IKEA sample you showed before, you would just scan the page and then this model would come out of the page in 3D and you could change the color and it would all be interactive. We found out that these kind of experiences work best on video, but they did, like when you would actually just show them as a PR campaign, but they didn't work so well for most people. The reason was because most people don't have access to, 4G networks with 5 bars and iPhone 5S working with that. So technology is still in a stage like that, this experience would only work. So interactive, deeper experience requires a lot of horsepower and allows really strong phones. With Layer, that's why we focused on this kind of clickable, actionable, measurable augmented reality. Let me just jump to a slide to show that. You see here are kind of like buttons that are displayed on top of a page. These buttons are very light. They require very little network speed. They would work with older devices as well. So we focused on kind of being the most democratic AR application. AR application that would work not just with the newer devices, but also with old devices. And that's actually where we found our niche, our part of the market. So that's a very long answer and a very short question.
No, that's okay. The next question, I've got one other quick question, and then I'll let you get back to the presentation that you were going through. But one of our participants asked, how is the front end different than a QR code? And the comment was, I still have to launch the proper app, and then it appears that they can link to the same things. Could you respond to that?
Of course, yes. So I think the easiest way to understand the difference would be for you to, engage in this experience and then yourself and just see how it works. So I will hopefully we'll be able to share these slides after the presentation, and I'll share a link to a section where you could just scan things with a Layer app off the screen of your computer and then see how this would work if it were in print. So you'll understand the difference. But I guess the short answer is that it's a much more engaging experience. A QR code essentially acts just like a bridge. It takes you, or more like a teleporting machine. You have no idea where you're going to end up after you scan it. With augmented reality, especially how we do it, once you scan the page, you're sort of getting access to an interactive menu. You can select exactly what it is that you want to do. Is it a website? Is it a video? Would you like to share it? On top of that, you get access to much more engaging content. So, for instance, if you're looking at a car, you can swipe left and right and then see that car in different colors. You can press play and then hear how this engine sounds like. You can't do these kind of things with QR codes.
Okay, thanks. I'll let you keep going here if you want to bounce back to where you were.
All right, no problem. So, if we talk about conversions, what we typically see is about 2 to 5% reader engagement. So, for instance, from 100 people, 2 to 5 people would scan it. It was just pretty typical. And from those people who would scan it, 87% of them would engage with content. That is very high. So that means that after scanning, 87% of people would either watch a video or they would click on a, you know, a link, or they would register for something. So engagement is very high post-scanning. So that means that a lot of the effort should be to actually on communicating to your leaders how they should scan and engage with this content. So this is what we see. I'm just quickly going to also show you that we, as I said in the beginning, we're now available on Google Glass. So if you have one, please just download the Layer app for it, and then you can just scan things around you, content, like you would normally do with the app. But it's pretty cool how it works, so I strongly encourage that.
Martin, I have to ask. I did go and look at the YouTube video. And is it really as simple as I sit down and I've got a, let's assume I've got a direct mail piece or a magazine or a sign in front of me. I really verbally issue the command, you know, scan this, and it will actually link to that content?
Yes. So if a content has been, augmented with Layer,
yep.
Then, yes, you would say, okay, Glass, scan this, and then it would scan that page and bring you up, return basically a video or whatever it is that that page contains. So it's pretty cool. It's very simple.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Sure. So we have just a couple of minutes, or I have a couple of minutes. Let me just show you how to create content with Layer. It's very easy. You don't need any coding experience or you don't need to have any kind of technical, deep technical background. The way it works is very simple. All you do is that you just upload a page that you wish to make interactive to our platform. So on Layer.com, at Layer.com, you can log in into the system. It's called Layer Creator. Just upload a page. Then here on the right, we have the digital stuff, so website links or call now or buy or videos. And then simply drag and drop it on top of the page, position it right, specify which link it's going to be linking to, and then click publish. And that's it. Content's live. So it takes first-time user about 5 minutes to create and publish first campaign without any prior experience with Layer Creator. So it's very intuitive. Here are some of the features that are available. Much more, you could do much more with Layer Creator. But yeah, you can make content socially shareable, add deep media features, as well as media kind of more operational action features. So, okay, guys, I don't want to overload you with
We have a few questions before I turn over to Deborah, though, okay? The first question is there any system for figuring out or tracking the how do you track the scans, and then is there any mechanism for capturing consumer information from the Layer platform?
Great question. So yes, indeed. Inside Layer Creator, you also have access to full analytics, so you can see who interacted with the content, how many scans there have been, how many people interacted with it, what content do they like? Are they watching the video, or are they more clicking on Facebook like button or something like that? So you have access to all this data. And sorry, could you repeat the second part of the question?
Is there a way of capturing, you know, end consumer data? For instance,
right. I understand.
Okay.
I think I understand. So yes, indeed. The easiest way to do that is to offer people some kind of reward or offer them to participate in some sort of competition, like a sweepstake. For instance, we've done a campaign with Land Rover where they would offer people to book a test ride. Of course, you're not going to buy a car with, you know, using a smartphone, but you could sign up for a test drive. So all you would need to do is would provide your email address, your name, and phone number, and you know, that way they would create lists of people who are interested in that new Land Rover.
And then the other question is, you know, are there any, and I'm not, this is a bit more technical, but, and you may not know the answer, but does Layer have any additional content options for developers so that I could add animations or surveys or 3D objects? Is it like an application?
Yeah, very good. Very good question. So we have advanced features inside Layer Creator. These advanced features include, for instance, HTML. So that means that you can add anything that's currently possible on, you know, mobile web on top of a printed page. It could be a poll, like you could ask people, hey, guys, what do you think about this? And then people would vote. It could be some kind of interactive shopping cart. It could be something that would just say, hey, good morning, it's lovely weather today, in case it's sunny. So it's completely up to you. So developers indeed can create these custom HTML widgets. Secondly, we also work with JSON Hotspot, which essentially means that you can add things like, for instance, 3D objects on top of a printed page. Again, I would recommend you to approach these 3D elements with some caution. But it's possible.
Now, the next question is can you give people a ballpark relative to what it costs to use Layer technology? And, you know, so what do you charge, and is there a cost for each scan, or is it one-time cost? Could you share with us a business model on this, Martin?
Of course. So our pricing is very straightforward. We charge a per number of reference images that you wish to make interactive. So if it's one cover, that's what we count as one reference image, so one page. So one page is $60. The price goes down if you buy, a bundle. So for instance, with 10 pages, you get a 10% bundle. With 100 pages, you get 30% bundle. So also, we offer discounts for educational, cultural, nonprofit organizations that wish to experiment with that. The prices are much less in that situation. And one thing I briefly mentioned, we can also create a custom branded version of the Layer app for you in case you're interested.
Now, one other quick question I've got, and then I'm going to turn over to Deborah. But if I have a Layer application and a page, what output devices can I print that page on? Is there any restriction? Can I print it on an offset press or a digital press? Is there any limitation?
Oh, right. Okay. So there is no limitation. There is no hidden watermark or anything like that. You don't have to add some sort of strange, watermark into the print. Our system works with anything that is, 2D flat and looks like a picture. You can augment, your business card, your postcard, a movie cover, anything. So there are no guidelines for printing. You can just use existing printing techniques and just make them interactive with the Layer app.
Okay, and one last question, then I'm going to turn over to Deborah. But
sure.
Since we had a follow-up pricing question, is that $60 for the content? Will that be available forever? Is it available for a month or a year?
Mm-hmm.
What are the restrictions on that?
Of course. So $60 allows content to be scannable for 1 year. So there are ways for you to extend the validity of content after 1 year, either through repurchasing the page, or we have a thing which is called Layer Premium Account. With Layer Premium Account, you get access to a number of benefits, and that extends the validity of the page beyond the year. I would encourage you to just go to layer.com and click on pricing. That contains very detailed information about our pricing. But, again, I'd like to emphasize that it's pretty straightforward. It's very predictable. There's not much more to it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Martin. What I'm going to do now is one of our participants asked, how is this used in direct mail? And I'm going to turn it over to Deborah Haskell to share what I categorize as a great augmented reality case study. So, Deborah, take it away.
Thanks, Barb. Barb, in her introduction, described IWCO Direct as the largest direct mailer in the U.S., and we believe, and part of the reason we believe this is because it's what our customers tell us, is that we got to be the largest by listening to customer needs, helping to identify customer needs and solutions to those needs. And sometimes those needs aren't necessarily articulated by the customer, but it's something that we can understand by learning a lot about their business, about their market. And one of the things that we did about a year ago in the loyalty vertical market in that sector was reading from cover to cover the restoration and loyalty survey that Deloitte published. And one of the things that was really interesting to us, because we have a number of hotel and airline clients whose loyalty programs we run for them, one of the things they said was on the hotel side that loyalty members can be really fickle, much more so than probably members of airline frequent flyer programs, that frequent guest programs, people join hotel loyalty programs for different reasons. And some of what Deloitte found and what our customers verified for us in terms of their business is there's a big difference between somebody that's traveling on pleasure, on their nickel, versus business travelers. And if you think about it, when you select a hotel when you're traveling with your family, there's probably a different set of criteria than you use when you're traveling on business, where what you really need is convenience, a certain set of services that you need to have available to you so that you can get to a meeting quickly and without a lot of hassle, that if you need a conference room there, those kinds of things that typically don't enter into your pleasure travel. And Deloitte confirmed that consumers are looking for, when they talk about value in a hotel stay, they're looking for the cost of that room, the comfort of the room, and location when choosing a hotel. What really, really matters to them is that the purchase process is secure and easy because they don't have a travel person necessarily making that reservation for them. They're probably making it themselves. That they can, they have access to discounts and understand what's going on in terms of new properties, renovations, those kinds of things. That again, a business traveler who might just be looking for a room to sleep in while they're waiting for a flight in the morning isn't going to be quite as concerned about. The statistics about what people think about loyalty programs and what informs what we do with Best Western and other clients in this vertical really were a bit of a surprise to us, that less than half consider loyalty programs, less than half of consumers consider a loyalty program when they're choosing a hotel, probably because they may not have elite status and it's just, not to call it a one-night stand, but, you know, it's similar to that in terms of am I really going to use a loyalty program's benefits if I'm staying in this hotel. So less than half are thinking about that if they're going to visit a relative, for example, and need a hotel for a couple of nights. Just a little over half are actually satisfied or very satisfied with their hotel loyalty program. And that's something that Best Western swears is a statistic that they want to rise far and high above, and the next slide will show you that they've done that. And a little less than two-thirds said they never want to interact with a travel brand via social media. They want to interact directly with them, or they want to interact through a service like Travelocity or Hotels.com or Orbitz, but not through social media. So that, again, was important in terms of the channel and some of the selection for what Best Western does when they think about communicating with their loyalty base. Best Western, we were very excited when Best Western was announced as a winner of the Best Travel Rewards Award from U.S. News for the hotels category last year. And this year, Loyalty 360 gave Best Western's rewards program their Platinum Award. Best Western is clearly doing something right. They've been recognized as one of the industry's top loyalty programs in more than one instance. but they're struggling to make sure that they don't rest on their laurels and stay at the top. So they recognize one of their biggest issues was that they need to book more stays for rewards members who have low activity rate. Back to that statistic about people not considering the loyalty program when they book a hotel, Best Western wants to give people reason to always think, I want to book Best Western. My first choice is going to be Best Western. The other thing that was important to them was increasing the use of Best Western rewards booking versus those other services like Travelocity or Orbitz or Hotels.com. They want to create that interactive experience and have people book directly with Best Western. One of the things that they've spent a lot of time thinking about and what we've worked with them on in terms of using all the channels, an integrated marketing approach to their rewards program, is the welcome kit for Best Western Rewards. What you're seeing on the screen now is the base kit, and there are different tiers based on how often you stay at Best Western, what affinity group, if you're a Harley owner, for example, that's something that Best Western really specializes in, and there's a separate member group for Harley owners. So you're looking at the base version of their welcome kit, and this is something that we produce for them using digital presses. So there are a number of different versions, but this is the base version. What you're seeing on the left-hand side of the screen is what they're using for variable ad space. So that's part of where the personalization takes place. Obviously, your name welcoming you to Best Western. There are a number of areas where the digital technology really provides a huge advantage for them in terms of being able, within the tier versions of their loyalty program, allows them to do a lot in terms of personalization and creating that one-to-one messaging and making you feel special as a member of the Best Western Rewards Program. One of the challenges they had was how to engage people more as a member. And they've spent a lot of time, put a tremendous amount of effort into really when you go to a Best Western and you're a member of their rewards program, really helping the property owners recognize how important that membership is and welcoming you back or welcoming you as a rewards member. And we talked to them about how you can make that experience even more engaging. So now I've been to the property, I've joined the program, I'm being welcomed through this direct mail piece that I'm opening because I'm interested in what's going to be in there, what special offers, and decided to test using augmented reality to send a special message from the head of the rewards program, the person who leads the rewards program, welcoming you personally to the program and giving the new member an opportunity to interact with that direct mail piece that we know is getting open because it's important to them. It's not an acquisition piece. It's a retention piece, and retention mail tends to get opened at a higher rate than acquisition mail. Here's a way to get somebody even more engaged in that piece that's showing up in their mailbox. In terms of what we did to implement augmented reality for Best Western, we looked at a number of different providers of the technology, what tool can we use, and selected Layer. And as I told Martin a little bit earlier, as far as we were concerned, there really wasn't any other choice. We researched a number of augmented reality providers, but Layer far and away demonstrated the best user experience. Their services, you know, Martin talked a little bit about what they will do to customize the application for you. What we found was their services were exactly in line for what we wanted to accomplish and what Best Western wanted to accomplish. And they had the most evolved technology and easiest to use as far as we were concerned. You know, Martin described it as being very easy. That's part of their, that's one of their goals. And we found that to be very true, that it was very easy. Martin talked about not needing a lot of technical resources or input, and he was right. It was very, very simple to use. Some of the lessons we learned, and Martin's mentioned some of these already in terms of really focusing on quality over quantity. What we found is our customers across a variety of verticals, not just the travel space, but the cable companies who were using augmented reality and some of their direct mail pieces, they really need help understanding how to use the technology. And if you happen to see the Creative Good blog yesterday, they posed the question. It was a pretty compelling piece. And the headline, the subject line was, you don't have a usability problem, you have a business problem. And that's a lot of what we found about making effective use of augmented reality, is helping our clients understand the best way to use it. Doing too much, again, as Martin said, it's all about quality over quantity. It's not a gimmick. It's a tool, and it has to be effective in terms of what happens when I go away from my direct mail piece to that next experience, that that's something of value there. It's important to really know what content you're going to develop and what action you want someone to take. Again, back to that Creative Good blog yesterday, some of the questions you need to think about, what are the business goals of that augmented reality experience for customers or prospects? Who are you trying to serve? In Best Western's case, it was a new member of the rewards program and getting them more engaged with the application. What do you want those customers to achieve with the product or service or offering that you're showing them? You got to know that going in so that you can make sure that the experience that they get on the other side is rewarding and fulfilling. And have you researched what competitors or other markets are doing so that you know going in what the best practices are? One of the first things that we learned was the size of the video on the other end. Is a pretty big deal, and you have to think about that and take that into consideration of what the user experience is going to be all about. And I realized when I was looking at the slides just before the webinar started that that's a pretty funny typo that says be conscious instead of be conscious of respondents using different devices and technology. Martin talked about this earlier and said Layer is the most democratic. And that's what we found, because you really do have to be the conscience of the provider in terms of saying, I'm going to make this an equal opportunity for everyone to have a good experience. And it really makes a huge difference in thinking about the video or the website or whatever experience you have as part of that augmented reality. Once you're in there, it should be a good experience in order to make it worthwhile. And ultimately, you're trying to create that optimal, easy-to-use customer experience.
Hey, Deborah, I have a question from one of our participants, and I've got a few more other things that we've got a number of questions. But one of the things is, and this could be for Deborah or Martin, is there limitations on the size of the video content that you can connect to? And I'm going to start, either one of you can answer that.
From our perspective, the limitation is really about what you want that user experience, and back to being very conscious of a wide range of devices. If that video content is too large and takes too long and doesn't stream properly, it's not going to be the experience you want someone to have. So I'll ask Martin to answer more technically. From a user standpoint, the size should not be larger than somebody with a slow, older device can handle.
Okay.
I agree with that. So you have to keep in mind that the user will be looking at this content through the mobile phone, through the smartphone. So you probably don't want to put like 2-hour movie on there. Just keep in mind that, you know, content on smartphones is consumed kind of on the go. So, you know, the shorter, probably the better. In terms of technical requirements, I guess it would make sense. Well, you know, video would have to be streamed again. So if you upload something full HD, you know, really high definition image video, there might be some streaming problems with that that are, you know, just outside of our control at layer. So, you know, upload something that is short, that is not of incredibly high quality, that would, you know, stream fairly well. We have some guidelines on our website as well. But in general, I guess that's it.
Short is better. Deborah, quick question for you from one of our – did you get any measurable results relative to the Best Western case study in terms of utilization on augmented reality?
We did, and Best Western, while they gave us permission to share the case study, they asked us to they consider the results proprietary, so I can't share them.
Okay, that no problem. Next question, and this is for Martin on this one, which is when you take a look at the I'll open this up, but one of the other questions you got is, are there any examples on the packaging side? And I'm going to ask you, Martin, and then I'll also comment. And Deborah, if you've seen anything, pipe in. But on the packaging side of the business.
It's a good example. So I'm just going to start with kind of in general. So outside of Layer, just also considering other AR suppliers, I've seen few examples, like, for instance, with IKEA. That wasn't necessarily packaging. I guess Lego did something really cool. So you could hold a box of Lego in front of your webcam at home, or I think then later
they
updated.
They actually set up kiosks. Yeah.
Yeah,
in
so
the
then you could, indeed, you could see kind of that content, you know, the castle or whatever it is that you want to build.
Fully assembled.
Kind of in 3D there.
Just an aside, Martin, you mentioned IKEA, and I'm going to just toss this out. IKEA, and I have to tell a cute story. My husband bought something from IKEA, which means you have to assemble it. And I tell everybody, he's like, and I don't want to offend anybody on the webinar, but my husband is like a lot of men I've worked with. They never read instructions. And usually when he assembles something himself, he has several parts left over. But what he did is they had an augmented reality label, which actually took him to a video link that instructed him how to put together the desk, and he wound up with all parts utilized. The other example that I'll just give you quickly is Heinz Ketchup has done a lot with augmented reality, and what you've got is if you're in the supermarket, the label actually, if you point your cell phone at it and download the AR app, it will link you to recipes, so that you can buy all the ingredients while you're in the actual store. And Martin mentioned the Lego one. You could hold the Lego box, and the Lego puts actual PC webcam kiosks in their stores. You could hold the Lego box up in front of that PC webcam and see what that product looks like fully assembled. We're starting to see some real practical uses in the packaging arena, because people are using augmented reality to link to content that will, in fact, actually educate the consumer. We're also seeing some gimmicky things. On the back of cereal boxes, you can see that they put augmented reality games on the back of them. And so I believe it's Cheerios, or the Sweet Cheerios has a game on the back of the box. And so that you can actually run a marble through a maze with mom's cell phone while you're having your breakfast. And the value to Cheerios when they do something like that is that Johnny or Susie, when the box is empty, cares less about the contents of the box and more about playing the game on the back of the box. And so we're seeing a lot of things like that. We're also seeing it used in customer support type functions, like my husband, in educating him on how to put something together. If you lift, believe it or not, the engine of some of the new BMWs, what they've got inside are labels that will show the technician how the parts should actually be running. And they use something similar to a Google Glass so that they can then figure out and do maintenance on a car. And so there's a number of things like that that we're seeing augmented reality take hold in a big way. So I just want, you know, from a packaging perspective, a lot of great examples. Next question, Deborah, when you look at the direct mail space, do you see, you gave us the Best Western case study, are you starting to see on the direct marketing customers that you serve more and more desire to add those interactive elements?
We're starting to get a lot more inquiries about them as people are looking, you know, again, what we're finding, what we're hearing from our customers, what we're seeing in studies that we read is that direct mail is far from dead. It's part of an integrated marketing plan, and looking at how to best use direct mail with other channels is what we talk about as the holy grail of integrated marketing. So how can I get somebody's attention in the mailbox and then take them to another experience that gives them a different view, something that they're not going to just read because there's only so much you can expect somebody to read? You know, the days of the four-page direct mail letter being successful are pretty much over. It's really impacted how we design direct mail today in terms of recognizing that people often look for the quick skim, and we got to hit the high points, make it easy for them. Using experiences like augmented reality, in my mind, kind of takes you back to the four-page letter where I'm going to tell you the whole story about my product and entice you to buy. Now augmented reality can help you tell that story in a different channel that somebody doesn't have to read, they get to experience.
Great. Now, I have another question for you, Martin. And it's an interesting question, but I think one that's fundamental. And the question really is, how does the app know that a printed page has the information set up for it?
Okay, yeah, good question. So, when I explained, when I was showing you my slides, I talked briefly about how to create content. And the process was that first you upload the page to our system. Secondly, you drag and drop content. Third, you hit publish. So when you upload the content to our system, essentially telling our system that, hey, when you see this, return a video or return a buy button. So inside Layer Creator, you essentially program our system to recognize your page and to return augmented reality content once it sees it and once it recognizes it.
Okay, thank you. Now, one other question that came up, and I'm going to give one example, and Martin, you may have others, or Deborah, but the one of the folks asked for retail signage examples, and I'm going to give you just a couple that we've seen used very, very heavily. If you went to Macy's department store last Christmas, they used floor graphics, and this happened to be a three-dimensional AR application, but what happened is when you took a picture in a imaginary character from the floor graphic actually popped to life. In addition to this, what we're seeing are signs for movies where they link to the actual movie trailer so you can get more information on a movie, all the way through to signage where people are promoting restaurants and they actually link to a video that talks about the dining experience. And I don't, Martin, if the other big user, just an aside, of AR applications, in a lot of instances, we've seen Disney use them extensively in terms of promoting new characters, new themes, and they've done that with signage. So I'm going to ask Martin, have you got any specific examples where you've used layer with retail signage?
There are a few currently in the making. So, for instance, Susie Shear, which is one of large stores, clothing stores in Canada, they've enhanced some of the in-store posters. So, you could be looking at the poster of a model, and then if you scan that poster and kind of swipe through it, you can see different combinations of clothes. So that was really cool. As for others, they're currently in the making. So I hope maybe one of the participants of this call, could. It's a great idea. I don't see why it wouldn't work.
Good. Well, I'm going to wrap up with just a couple key thoughts, and this happens to be one of my favorite cartoons. For those of you who can't read it, said, "My husband looks like Brad Pitt," and it says, "Oh, through your iPhone, of course." And that is, in this case, augmented reality. Now, what I would tell you is it's time, and this happens to be, by the way, the Macy's floor graphic from a retail perspective, where that character, I think her name is Dora, pops to life from a floor graphic. But I think what we're going to see is that AR is going to show up everywhere. You're going to see wearables like Google Glass. You're going to see the experiential retail, trade show and events, education, cars, and it's going to be blended with print. And for those of you that are service providers, I would tell you it's time to assess what your role is going to be. Now, I will tell you that if we didn't get to your question, what we'll do is I've got your email addresses. We will absolutely get back to you and respond to those questions on an individualized basis. And I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today in the session. And we really appreciate both your time and attention. Have a great rest of the day.